All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at the Bar Lines, downtown Nashville. Comedian John Criss will join us at 2 o'clock today. Katie Morgan, the chief meteorologist for the Chase and Big Joe Show, will join us at 1:45. But now, let's bring in the voice, one of the voices of the Nashville Predators, Max Herz from the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Max, it's always good to see you, buddy.
Hi.
Good. What's going on, man?
I thought you were
going
to say something else.
No, uh-uh. I'll say that for after the show goes off.
Yeah.
Okay. How you doing, pal?
Good. It's great to be here at the Omni, one block away from Bridgestone Arena. As Joe Dubin says in the commercial I hear all the time, this is your place to be before and after Bridgestone events.
It truly is. And I don't think I've gotten paid for that either.
No, that was a volunteer opportunity.
That was a volunteer.
I think I might stay here this weekend, actually. It's probably the safe move.
Yeah.
It is, right?
To make sure I make the game on Saturday.
Do you have a cot at Bridgestone Arena?
No, but I think they have beds here at the Omni.
Well, look, here's the deal. The weather's coming in Saturday, but Utah, who they play Saturday, was going to arrive tomorrow or tonight, whatever. So they'll already be in town. Have the players stay downtown, get the game. Very rarely, and you know more about this than I do, is a professional game canceled. Very rarely.
Yeah, the NHL, it's not written in stone that this is a policy, and it normally applies to Edmonton and Ottawa and Winnipeg more than it applies to Nashville. But if the teams are there and the officials are there, they're going to play, even if fans can't make it. So I think that Saturday game will go as scheduled, no matter what.
Be fun, though.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, there was a game maybe 2016. The Sharks were here, and there was a really bad ice storm. And they said, we'll refund everybody's tickets. If you can get here safely, get here. We're only going to open the lower level. It's general admission. If somebody shows up with the seats you're in, be nice. Let them sit there. And it was a ton of fun. The Preds won the game, and I think there were maybe 8,000 people there.
Yeah.
It was kind of like an exclusive, like, hey, we know how to drive in the snow. And if you don't know how to drive in the snow, please don't get in the way of the people who don't know how to drive in the snow.
Yeah,
that's my message, not the Preds' message.
I love it.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember there was a game recently, not recently, but I'd say like in the last year or two, because I had to produce it, and it was just a bunch of snow. I remember like, you're on the game? I'm like, yeah, I'm on the game. And there was like probably 8,000 people like you were talking about. But as for tonight, big game for the captain, Roman Josi.
Oh, that's who you guys wanted to talk about?
I think so.
But you said a milestone for a single Preds player. I thought you meant Fedor Svechkov's 100th NHL game.
I mean, that's
which
a,
is also
that's
right.
A huge accomplishment as well.
Is that an alliteration? Fedor Svechkov?
No. Svechkov with an S.
Svechkov.
Okay. Svechkov.
Okay.
You and Svech would have a great interview together.
Would we?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you and him are on the same wavelength.
Oh, just
he's hilarious. He's so funny.
My favorite interview of all time, and we'll get to what's happening tonight real quick. We had Alexander Carrier on, and I said, hey, man, I said, with that voice, how many chicks do you pick up? And he said, I'm married. I said, still, with that, because he had the voice and the look. I mean, it was awesome. Roman Josi tonight, game number 1,000. And I can't say 1,000th. I don't know how to say that word properly.
Thousandth?
Thousandth
game.
Okay.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. TH at the end.
There you go. But all in a Preds uniform.
Yeah, the first ever to do it, which is really cool. And he already held the record for franchise record games played, which he hit at some point last year when he passed David Legwand, who played 956. So Legwand got pretty close, the first Preds draft pick ever. But it's a momentous occasion for the team, for a homegrown captain who has never played anywhere else, who has been with the Preds under all four head coaches in franchise history, part of the best teams in franchise history, the Cup final team, the President's Trophy team. He won the Norris. He should have won two Norrises. And for the last time ever this afternoon, the list of all-time games played leaders for the Preds doesn't have a comma in it. And that changes at 7:10 tonight. So, and I think he's the perfect guy to be the first, because there's only one goalie in NHL history who played 1,000. So Pekka was never going to get there. It's almost impossible for a goalie to get there. So it's really fitting, I think, that Josi is the first for what he's meant to the team and the city and all the different eras of Preds hockey he's been a part of in 15 seasons since he debuted in 2011.
How do they honor him before the game? I mean, don't you have to play then?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So the formal ceremony will be before the game on Saturday. So if you're going to the game Saturday, you'll get to see that before the game. And tonight, obviously, you get to see the milestone hit. And a really fun thing that has come up in recent years for 1,000 games across the league is players will come out and the entire team will warm up like that player, whether it's wearing their jersey or doing something that they do in their warm-up routine. So go to warm-up if you're going to the game tonight. I think we'll have some of that. The team is a little mysterious about what exactly it will be because they want it to be a surprise. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Presumably Yossi will get a solo lap. And then from there on, it's just a normal game. But, yeah, the 1,000 warm-up stuff has been really funny. 2 years ago, Ryan O'Reilly played his 1,000th game. The entire team went out with no helmet, just like O'Reilly, and they skated the exact same circle as him in front of the bench. They all stood in front of the bench, did the exact same hip flexor stretch all at the same time, and they couldn't even all fit. So
that's great.
That was funny, and that was on the road too. So this is it's so great that this is at home, and also that the next game will be at home too to have the ceremony with the silver stick.
Just perfect timing of all of that. You know, everybody knows Shea Weber is – normally the longtime captain. Everybody knows him for that. But when it comes to Roman Yossi, kind of the changing of the guard when it comes to captain, what do you think he meant to Roman? I mean, excuse me. What do you think Shea Weber and Roman Yossi's relationship was like going throughout these years?
Yeah, and I will put the disclaimer that I wasn't covering the team at this time, but right. Hearing from others like Willie, who did, I think it was the right transition. And Mike Fisher was the captain for a year in between for the Cup final run season, right after Weber was traded for PK Subban, and Fisher retired after that season, came back for a partial season, and as Willie and Adam Vingan talked about on Preds Insiders last night, the moment Mike Fisher came out of retirement, Roman Yossi said, hey, the C is yours if you want it back. And Fish said, no, you're the captain now. So he said, look at me. Was that movie out then? It probably was.
I think 2018. So, with Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he might have dropped that line on him, which would have been funny. But it's so funny. They're so different, but that's what made them such great D partners, too, when Roman was young. You have a lefty and a righty. Weber, obviously, so offensively gifted with the one-timer, but not an offensive defenseman in the same way that Roman Yossi is and was. So that's what made them such a great pairing. They're polar opposites in terms of personalities. But the thing they have in common that I think Yossi learned and inherited from Shea Weber that made him a captain candidate is their care level, the emotional love and the appreciation of the people around them. And they show it in very different ways because Shea Weber is so stoic in his leadership and Yossi is more outgoing. And like, it's almost like their games, you know,
yeah.
Like their personalities parallel their style on the ice. Like Weber is going to stand by his own net and punch you in the back if you get anywhere near him. Yossi is going to be whipping figure eights up by the other team's goal and smiling while he does it. So I think they're just, They're two of a kind, and we're so glad that the Preds got both of them when they did. And it is sad. I know a lot of fans are still sad that Shea Weber ended up playing for other teams, and his contract still continues to be traded amongst other teams, which I will never understand how and why that exists in hockey, but it does. But for Yost to be Smashville's own and never anybody else's, I think really means something. So I hope that answered your question.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, getting to the work on the ice when it comes to the Preds, sticking with the D pairings, just what have you seen out of this team so far this year? Obviously, this past week wasn't the best game against Buffalo, but minus that, what have you seen from this team?
Yeah, they've corrected a lot of the things that made last year so miserable, and I think everybody was assuming that it was going to go exactly the same as last year, and the players banded together the week of Thanksgiving. They got crushed by the Panthers on home ice, 8-3. And they had a team meeting the next day. It wasn't a players-only meeting. They had a practice at Bridgestone Arena on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, before going to a road trip to Detroit and Chicago. And I was in the stands for that practice. As usual, there were only a couple of media members there. And you could hear a pin drop. If someone had dropped a pin on the catwalk, you could have heard it. There was no noise in that practice. They understood that they got smacked the night before. And media did not go into the locker room for a long time after practice. It was obvious that something was going on, and the team had gathered. I don't know if it was in the locker room or in the theater room where they watch film, but the coaches were with them, and they said, guys, if this is going to be different from last year, it needs to change right now. And in almost a 30-game stretch since that happened, they had not lost consecutive games until the last two games. So that was where it turned. And, like, this team has too much veteran leadership and too much winning pedigree to be bad forever. Like, you can't have two Conn Smythe winners, the cup-winning captains that are in that locker room with O'Reilly, Stamkos, Marchessault is the other Conn Smythe winner with O'Reilly. Guys who like Michael Bunting and Brady Shea haven't won Stanley Cups, but they've played deep in playoffs. And to me, those guys are winners, you know? So you have veteran winners in that room and a goalie like Juuse Saros, who I think is so underappreciated around the league as we see other teams who have better offensive groups than the Preds lose games because they don't have any goaltending options. Like the mix they have, they had to be better. And it finally happened. And Stamkos, O'Reilly, Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros have all been playing great. Put Evangelista in there, which has been a big help too. And I think they're playing their best. And maybe their best is good enough for a wild card spot. It's almost definitely not going to be good enough to pass the Wild, Stars, or Avs, because you have the best top of the division of any division in the NHL in 10 years, which
right.
puts you in a tough spot and makes it harder to contend. But no, they've gotten back to really the potential of this group, and I think coaching has something to do with that too.
Yeah, you know, you make a great point about the Avalanche, the Wild, and Stars. I was talking with, I believe it was Connor last Saturday, along with Jake this past week, and I mentioned, like, look, if the Preds get in a wild card spot, after what we saw them going up against Edmonton and then Colorado in those games back and forth, and they win both of those, I think they can compete with any team when they get in the dance.
Well, we saw it 2 years ago against the Canucks. They were the number one seed in the conference that year, and maybe that was a fluke year from the Canucks with how they've played since. Who knows? But anybody can play with anybody in the playoffs. You know, you got to be hot at the right time. You got to play the right way. And as we saw in that series, you got to get bounces and you got to get a save in the final 2 minutes on home ice trying to get a game to overtime facing elimination. So you can't predict it at all. I think if they get in the playoffs with this current team, anything can happen. I think there's a long way to go until then. Tonight is game 50 out of 82. So it's not even worth looking that far down the road, but it's a long season. Games are long. Things can change at any time, good or bad.
There you go. Thank you, Dr. Crane.
Big Joe Dubin, everybody. Let's hear it for him. Nationals media darling.
Call. Sorry about that. I always hate people talking about, hey, well, if you're just going to get in the playoffs and get beat in the first round, don't get in the playoffs. I'm like, oh, so you can predict the future. I love this, right? Isn't the goal getting to the playoffs? Because you can't win the Stanley Cup unless you get in the playoffs. And that 2017 Nashville Predator team should have told us that. Anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, the things about that 2017 team, it's so funny looking back that they were the 8th seed and the last team in either conference. Because you look at the defensemen of that group, that might be the best decor of any team in the Stanley Cup final, like, since the 05 lockout. You know?
Really?
Like, since the Red Wings teams, since the salary cap came in, just absolutely loaded. So on paper, that team had a trait that put them there. And on paper, this Preds team has a trait where, like, if you just look at the ages, the experience, and the pedigree, I've been thinking about it this way, not saying the Preds are going to win the Stanley Cup, but this is what a Cup team ends up looking like after the deadline, what they look at now. You have a franchise star, forward, D, and goalie. You have veterans who have won other places and are proven, and then you have a few young players who really know their role and grinders in the bottom six. So, like, on that part of it, they, like, are already a post-deadline-looking type team because of the veterans they have. Now, some of those guys are rentals who other teams may want and trade away from the Preds, so who knows what it looks like in March. But that kind of hit me recently. It's like, this is almost what you would expect the Preds to look like after a deadline, not before.
Who was the guy, Henry Vernerchuk? I can't pronounce his name. Who made the goal, a game-winning goal in the 17 playoffs?
Harry Zolnerchuk,
yeah, that was great. Yeah, like, who is this guy? And then he scores, and then he rides off into the sunset after the season. But that team was fun because, like you talked about, you had a bunch of guys who just fought every night, and that's what made that team so remarkable. They just fought every night.
Yeah, and you got to get hot at the right time, too. Like, they swept the one seed. They shut out the one seed twice in a row on the road.
Crazy.
Anything can happen.
And that one seed has not been back to the playoffs since
That's
that
correct.
2017 season. Max, you're the best, man. What time's pregame tonight?
6.
Who we have on tonight?
We will hear from Mr. Factor, Ryan O'Reilly, the O'Reilly Factor, who I'll give you guys a little preview of the interview right now. He said the team's initial round of 1,000 game gifts for Roman Josi. They gave him a couple things today. They're going to have a formal event this weekend, too, where they give him some more. But the players all banded together. The first two things are a limited edition Norcane watch, which is a Swiss watch company that Josi endorses. And
wait, can he just get the watch from them?
Well, they made it special. It's special.
Okay. All right, what else?
And VIP tickets to the U.S. Open tennis.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And because that's right before training camp opens.
Yeah. So, and there's more to come, supposedly.
Oh.
Well, not supposedly. Definitely.
Definitely.
I just don't know what it is.
God, you're the best. You're that insider, man. Like a young Rick Merritt. Just an insider for the Preds. We love it, man. Max, thank you, buddy.
I don't want to be compared to Rick Merritt again.
I don't blame you. Was your food good?
I actually haven't eaten it yet.
Oh, go down and eat, pal.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the wrap.
Ooh.
You got the season.
Well, I'm just going to have them bring it up to my room for this weekend.
There you go.
Here at the Omni.
This, you're not a king.
I mean, they might.
You're one of us. Sit down and eat, man. No, Max, we love you, brother. Always appreciate your insight because you let us know what's going on, and I liked it. So thank you.
Do I get to do birthdays or no?
We have a comedian coming.
Yeah.
John Crist is coming today. So if he doesn't
show
up.
How old is he turning today?
He is going to be 37.
I got a lot of grief the last time I did birthdays for thinking Glenn Powell was 65. He's a young, hot guy.
Yeah. Chad Powers.
I do know who he is now, but he does have the name of a much older.
Does he not? Yeah. So that's a factor sometimes in all this. You do birthdays. There's a rhyme and reason to celebrity birthdays. And you just got to know things. Like, they'll ask for clues. Like, we had a guy the other day that won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants. Well, when was that? I can't tell you. You need to figure that on your own. If I told you it was 86 and 90, by deductive reasoning, you could get to a neighbor like, well, he's probably in the 60s somewhere.
Like, you could get away with, does he have an older brother? And he goes, yes. I'm like, oh, I know the older brother.
Oh, so you got to know where to follow up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tonight is Roman Josi's 1,000th birthday, so. Make sure you get that in there.
With the Predators.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. That's not what it is.
With the Predators.
Yeah.
You can say
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you.
As always, Max. Thanks, pal.
Thanks guys.
All right. Max Herz, part of the National Predators Radio Network, here tonight starting at 8 o'clock. Come back with much more. At 1:45, Katie Morgan's going to join us. He's the chief meteorologist for the Chasing Big Joe show. 2 o'clock, comedian John Crist will be here. His show, as of now, is still on at the Opry House on Sunday. We'll get the very, very latest from him. We joined us here at 2 o'clock. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here for the Omni National Hotel.